Listening to the Hour of the Time, and I'm Pooh.
And I'm Doyle.
I pledge allegiance to the flag, to the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Alright, good job, Pooh.
Thanks.
Where are you going now?
To finish the rest of my dinner.
Ah, alright. Cool.
See you later.
Alright, bye. Where's my working down there? Alrighty. I'm going to start the show off tonight. Bill's working on some important stuff back here in the office. I'd like to start off with something we found out a few days ago. Pretty close to me. It's a unfortunate incident which happened back in California. Taft, actually. Which is in Kern County of California. A gun dealer was raided by the ATF, and he was somehow pronounced dead in the ensuing raid. They're claiming it was a suicide. I would like to read some of the stuff from the local newspapers of that area, which include the Bakersfield Californian, and just to let you know what the people there are saying and the news reporters are saying in that area of the local. I think we'll continue that. And then we'll go into, major feedback for something. All right. Okay. First off, we'll start with this. This is titled Officials, Gun Dealer or Suicide. Okay. Man reportedly pulled out a pistol in a struggle with an ATF agent and shot himself. Taft officer then opened fire. Okay. By Fred Ludwig, California staff writer. A Taft gun shop owner killed himself during a federal weapons raid, officials said Thursday, but the news appeared unlikely to immediately quiet the strong emotions over the death in the small community. Daryl Howe broke loose from authorities trying to handcuff him Wednesday morning and grabbed a handgun behind the counter, officials said. After a struggle with a U.S. Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agent, Hal put the gun in his mouth and fired, officials said. Taft Police Sergeant Ed Whiting, who had turned away and didn't realize what had happened, then fired three shots into Hal's body, they said. But preliminary results from an overnight autopsy showed Hal died from the self-inflicted shot. Quote, it was a tragic incident, the type of incident law enforcement always prepares for, but certainly hopes never occurs, said Kern County Sheriff Carl Sparks. After getting about 40 calls from upset people, sheriff's officials took the unusual step Thursday of following up a news conference with a public question-and-answer session with people from Taft and elsewhere. Officials had refused to release details Wednesday, and rumors and questions ran rampant through Taft. Some on hand Thursday expressed doubts that Hal would have sold illegal guns or killed himself. Quote, none of us believe it for a minute, said Yolanda Snyder, a friend of Hal. That's not Daryl. The raid accompanied other searches, of homes, businesses, and vehicles that led to the arrest of two Bakersfield residents Wednesday, said John Malone, an ATF special agent. Officials filed several charges of weapons possession and trafficking against Richard Spielman and Mark Reed. The suspects knew each other, but we're not necessarily cooperating in a gun-running scheme, Malone said. ATF has been investigating Hal about 3 years, Malone said. He said undercover agents twice bought illegal machine guns from him, once 2 years ago and again 18 months ago. They waited with the raid while the investigation moved forward on other fronts, Malone said. Wednesday, two ATF agents entered Howe's shop, Alpha Omega Surplus and Supplies, with Whiting and one sheriff's deputy about 10 a.m. when the shop was just opening and no customers had yet arrived. A pat-down search indicated Howe was unarmed, but Howe grabbed the .45 caliber handgun. Whiting, who did not see all of the ensuing struggle, fired after hearing Howe's suicidal shot, said Sheriff Sergeant Glenn Johnson. Howe offered no reasons for the suicide, Johnson said. Officials would not describe what, if any, illegal weapons were found at the store, saying federal law requires a report to be sent first to a federal magistrate. The department's investigation into the shooting will continue for another 2 or 3 weeks, Johnson said. Taft police officials were not on hand for the announcement. Whiting has been placed on administrative assignment, Johnson said. Johnson said he did not know whether Whiting has shot anyone before. Whiting was named in an April lawsuit by a Santa Barbara couple who accused Whiting of detaining them without probable cause, an allegation he has denied. Some people knew Howe said at the announcement that there was bad blood between Whiting and Howe. Quote, they did not have good relationship at all, said Bakersfield resident Jim Coob. Walt Parham said he came to the event out of concern over whether officials were overstepping their bounds with all the recent drug raids, but had an open mind. It's a little hard to read right here as far as the clarity. They, in parentheses officials, made a good case, and I tend to believe it, Parham said. Sparks said, who is the sheriff, by the way, of Kern County, Sparks said, ATF involvement in the incident raises eyebrows of those who distrust the agency. Sparks said he wanted to meet with the residents in an effort to ease any concerns. We just can't ignore it, Sparks said. That's the kind of stuff that tears a community apart, or it can. Okay, that's just one article. That's from the Bakersfield Californian. I'd like to read another one. It's titled, Friends Skeptical of Official Account, by Christine L. Peterson, staff writer. Disbelief permeated the tight-knit communities of Taft and Ford City Thursday as residents and friends of Darrell Howe questioned law enforcement's announcement of his death in his gun shop. The Kern County Sheriff's Department version of the event, that the gun shop owner grabbed a loaded .45 caliber handgun Wednesday, struggled with officials, then placed the barrel in his mouth and pulled the trigger, just didn't fit what they knew of the father of two. Sheriff's official said, a Taft police officer, not knowing where the expended round went, immediately fired 3 rounds that struck Howe, .45 on the side of his body. He died at the scene. Everybody, quote, everyone in Taft knows this is stupid. Said Ong Shannon, age 34, Howe's niece. Ong believes there could be nothing farther from the truth, that the man who grew up in Taft and graduated from Taft Junior High School, where yearbooks say he played football and was in the band, was a wonderful man who ran an outstanding business. While at least one family member and friend said Howe was vocal in support of gun rights, he did not believe he would condone any illegal behavior or sell illegal firearms. The way the press release makes him sound, well, he just would have never done anything like that, Ong said after reading a copy of a sheriff's news release on the incident. ATF agents went to Alpha Omega Surplus and Supply Store as part of a 4-year firearms trafficking investigation, said ATF Special Agent Tracy Height. She said ATF was assisted in serving a warrant by the Taft Police Department and Kern County Sheriff's Department. This is a lengthy investigation that led us to several locations, Height said, explaining that there were search warrants for 5 locations and arrest warrants for 3 people in Kern County. Ong estimated her uncle had the business for 15 to 20 years, first within Taft City limits and then within the county. At the business Thursday, some family members and friends gathered at the shop. A bumper sticker on a window bore the message, "Only tyrants and criminals fear honest armed citizens." Recorder programs blared from speakers outside the shop. "I just don't understand it," said friend Jamie Walshuk. She said that while she didn't share how to support a gun, she respected him because he looked on the bright side of life, listened to and worked with people on their problems, and was satisfied with making ends meet. She said Hal talked about moving. "In the 12 years I have known him, I have never seen him upset," Walchuk said. To her, Hal was a law-abiding citizen. She said he didn't like helmets, so he stopped riding his motorcycle when the helmet law went into effect. "I know in a million years he wouldn't ever shoot himself or lunge at a police officer," Walchuk said. Ken Bishop, who would sometimes visit Hal at his shop, said Hal was somewhat of a patriot, end quote, and would share his opinions about guns. He said that law enforcement's statement that Hal had illegal firearms seems off the wall. Mike Hodges, the publisher of Golden Empire Review, said Hal asked to have a column print in the paper titled "Notes from Moron." Taft was called Moron in 1908, according to Kern County place names. The city changed its name to Taft in 1909. In the column, Hal quotes several passages from the Bible. The column Hodges attributed to Hal states, It is not at home to be in the militia. It is our God-given duty. We are commanded to be his soldier. It is time to lay aside our daily jobs and return to duty. R&R is over. To arms, where are his soldiers? Right now, where is your squad members? Right now, can you honestly say that you are aware of their location and their ability to respond to duty? Hodges said after Hal died, he reread the column. "It gave me an achy, shaky feeling," Hodges said. He said he didn't believe Hal would ever resist arrest. While Hal didn't agree with some gun legislation, he abided by it, Hodges said. "I know Daryl wouldn't kill himself. And he wouldn't hurt someone else," Hodges said. "My personal experience is he was a real giving person." Okay, those are two of the articles out of the local area, which is in Kern County, California, on the recent death of a gun shop owner in Taft, is the actual city within Kern County of California. His name was Daryl Howe. I had met the man several times. He was a very nice, congenial person. We are looking in to see what else is going on here. These are recent reports from people within the area. I have a few questions, though, I'd like to bring up to everybody. I noticed in the paper, which was quoting the ATF, was that there was an ongoing investigation for 4 years. Okay? It led to a lengthy investigation, which was the ATF Special Agent Tracy Height. That's her quote, a lengthy investigation. Okay. They claimed that they had bought firearms from him, illegal firearms from him, 2 years ago and 18 months ago. Now, I have to wonder, if they had bought these firearms 2 years ago and then 18 months ago, why didn't they do something? Why did they wait so long? Maybe someone can help me out here. I might just be misunderstanding something. Also, why would the police officer who shot him 3 times turn his back during an ensuing struggle, then turn around and instinctively shoot him 3 times, even though he was grappling with ATF agents? That's another question I have. No accusation, just wondering how he just instantly turned around and knew where he was doing, what he was doing. Let me see, this was from the article, "Official Gun Dealer of Suicide." Taft Police Sergeant Ed Whiting, who had turned away and didn't realize what had happened, then fired 3 shots into Hal's body, they said. But preliminary results from an overnight autopsy showed Hal died from a self-inflicted shot. Okay. Interesting. And I have one more here. In the Bakersfield, California, 3-year gun probe led to Taft shooting. Gun enthusiasts bought, sold, built illegal weapons, say court documents, by Jonathan Nelson, staff writer. Dana Lee, a special agent with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, sat across from Mark L. Reed, February 2, 1995, and stared down the barrel of a Beretta 22 caliber pistol. The Israeli Mossad carried the same weapon, Reed reportedly told the undercover agent. With light subsonic ammunition with a rag or pillow over the barrel, you can't hear the muzzle report. The weapon lowered, and Lee eventually walked from Reed's photo shop in Bakersfield with a $400 FEG 9mm pistol he had just purchased illegally. The exchange 3 years ago began a long and detailed investigation into three gun enthusiasts who bought, sold, and built illegal guns, according to documents filed against the men in federal court. The investigation ended Wednesday, and so did the life of 45-year-old Daryl Howe, owner of an Alpha Omega Surplus and Supply store in Taft. As ATF agents wrestled with Howe, the gun dealer grabbed a .45-caliber handgun and fired a single fatal shot into his mouth, according to a report from the Kern County Coroner's Office. Sergeant Ed Whiting of the Taft Police Department fired three more shots into Howe, an act that has angered the Taft community and drew comparisons to other ATF operations such as Waco, Texas, and Ruby Ridge, Idaho. Whiting is on administrative leave and declined to comment. Police Chief Bert Pumphrey was out of the office Friday and unavailable for comment on Whiting's actions. A sheriff official confirmed that Whiting did not pass a one-year probationary period to be a deputy with the Kern County Sheriff's Department in 1983. He joined the Taft Department in 85. Howe's shooting occurred as ATF and local police department were serving several search warrants in Kern County. The investigation began with Reed and Whiting to include Howe and Richard M. Spielman. All three men are charged in federal court on a variety of weapons violations. The investigation began in August 1994 with an informant contracted when an informant contacted ATF officials and claimed Reed was violating several gun laws, the document states. The informant Lee met several times with Reed to arrange the purchase of machine guns. Lee states in court papers how he bought a machine gun from Reed in 1996 and how the informant purchased two machine guns in 1995. During a meeting at Reed's photo laboratory on July 8, 95, between the informant and Reed, Howe was also present. Reed told the informant he didn't need to worry about Howe. The investigation then expanded to include Howe and eventually Spielman. Between 95 and 98, an informant purchased two machine guns and several handguns from Howe, the federal documents state. The handgun sales were done without Howe filing the proper federal and state paperwork or the informant observing the required 5-day waiting period after buying a handgun. Spielman's charge stemmed from his use of illegal gun dealer documents to buy 20 cases of Chinese ammunition as purchase of a machine gun kit from 52-year-old Alvin Seal, court papers allege. Spielman then built the machine gun and sold it to the informant. Seal, who owns the War Bunker, Memorabilia, and Gun Store in Oildale, was arrested in September for investigation of several weapons violations when ATF agents raided his store and seized more than 250 firearms. Along with these specifics of when gun sales occurred, the federal documents portrayed a world where guns are easily bought and sold by people who often espouse anti-government statements. During one conversation with informants and Lee, Howe called himself a skinhead militia member, and Reed complained about a ban on assault weapons and the actions of President Clinton, Attorney General Janet Reno, and U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein. She is one of the two senators from California. That's mine there. I added that. Californian staff writer Christine L. Peterson contributed to the story. That's the end. Okay. A couple questions here. Okay. Suddenly now, in this article, Howe called himself a skinhead militia member, and Reed complained about a ban on assault weapons. Now, none of this is in quotes, so we don't know any of this to be fact, or it was said on this date at this time, we have it on recording, or anything. He just supposedly claimed to be a skinhead militia member, which seems to be on the contrary to the other reports, which we have so far from the same newspaper. Also, The investigations began in August 1994 when an informant contacted ATF officials and claimed Reed was violating several gun laws, the documents state. Lee states in court papers how he bought a machine gun from Reed in 1996 and how the informant purchased two machine guns in 1995. Okay. We keep seeing this inference to other people, and Hal, upon stating some of his political beliefs and having been an attendant at one of these so-called meetings, became himself under investigation. Here's the paragraph. The investigation then expanded to include Hal and eventually Spillman. Okay. Also, if you'll note, within that same article, they said that they had sold handguns without properly filing the federal and state paperwork. Yet in the other two articles, we see that he supposedly was selling machine guns. Here's the paragraph. The handgun sales were done without Hal filing the proper federal and state paperwork or the informant observing the required 5-day waiting period after buying a handgun. I'd like to know what's going on here. Okay? I knew this man. I met him several times. He was a very nice person. I don't understand these reports here. We see that he was dealing in illegal firearms. Then we see that he was selling machine guns, and he had sold machine guns to an agent 2 years ago and 18 months ago. Now he's selling handguns without observing the proper federal and state paperwork or the 5-day waiting period. Sure seems quite a travesty for someone to lose their life over something that we can't even get straight yet. I'd also like to go into a couple of quotes from the sheriff and then one of the officers on site. These are from press releases. Excuse me. Sheriff Carl Sparks. On October 7, 1998, at approximately 10 a.m., officers from the Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco Department, Taft Police Department, and Kern County Sheriff's Department served a search warrant and a federal arrest warrant. Both the search warrant and the arrest warrant were federal warrants issued from a federal judge out of Fresno, California, and they served the warrants at the Alpha Omega Surplus and Supply Store located at 201 Harrison Street in Taft. Officers were looking for machine guns and parts, machine gun parts, and attempting to arrest Daryl Howe, 45 years of age, for two counts of selling machine guns to undercover ATF personnel. Two ATF personnel, one Taft police officer, who was Sergeant Ed Whiting from the Taft Police Department, a 40-year-old male with 13 years with the Taft Police Department. This is written kind of strange. I'm just reading it verbatim. A sergeant who is at this time on administrative assignment with the Taft Police Department, and also there was a deputy, a senior deputy from the Kern County Sheriff's Department substation. They all entered the store, two ATF agents, one Taft Police officer, and a senior deputy from the Kern County Sheriff's Department. They entered the store and made contact with Mr. Howe. Mr. Howe lives there at the business, at the back of the business. Officers did the search warrant approximately 10 o'clock. When the store normally opens for business, Mr. Howell was advised that he was under arrest on the federal warrant and that officers had a federal search warrant for his store. At that point, Mr. Howell was patted down for weapons by ATF agents and found to be unarmed. As the officer attempted to handcuff Mr. Howell, Mr. Howell broke loose, went behind the counter, and grabbed a .45, a loaded .45 caliber handgun. A struggle over the handgun occurred between Mr. Howe and ATF agent. With the officer, the ATF agent attempting to disarm Mr. Howe, Mr. Howe was able to place the barrel of the handgun in his mouth and pull the trigger. At the same time, the Taft police officer, Sergeant Ed Whiting, fired 3 rounds at Mr. Howe because he did not know where the 1 round had gone off. He felt that the ATF officer was in trouble and possibly had been shot. The 3 rounds struck Mr. Howe on the right side. Medical personnel were summoned, and Mr. Howe was pronounced deceased at the scene. At that point, Sheriff Sparks introduces ATF, Special Agent in Charge, John Malone. Malone. First of all, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm the newly appointed special agent in charge of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, San Francisco Field Division. Our field division encompasses the northern area in California and the entire state of Nevada. First of all, I want to extend my sympathies to the Howe family and on Mr. Howe's friends, that's what it says. For several years, ATF has been involved in an undercover investigation on machine gun trafficking here in Kern County. During that investigation, undercover purchases of machine guns were made through Darrell Howe. Therefore, ATF special agents from the Bakersfield field office obtained federal search and arrest warrants for Howe, culminating in yesterday's enforcement activity. ATF ranks illegal firearms trafficking as one of the top priorities in support of that priority. ATF with federal, state, federal, and local law enforcement agencies develop new enforcement strategies designed to impact the illegal sources of firearms to criminals, gang offenders, and juveniles. I would like to end this by stating that illegal firearms trafficking and illegal machine gun manufacturing is a growing problem in America's cities. It fuels the fire of the most violent elements in our society. The Bakersfield and Taft Police Department and the Kern County Sheriff's Office are committed to help ATF curb the flow of illegal firearms and illegal firearms trafficking in this community. At that point, Malone went on to introduce some other people at the conference. This is a travesty, completely and utterly. Someone died for no reason. I don't understand if they had bought an illegal gun from him 2 years ago, as they claim, and then 18 months ago, as they claim. They waited till now to go in and do a raid, as they claim. And then, even at that, how could a person that which his friends and family and business associates claim was very mild, would never break the law, how could this person wrestle with the officials and grab the gun from underneath the counter and put it in his mouth and commit suicide? And one other point that I just have to question is, how did this officer from the local police department turn away during an ensuing struggle, then turn back towards the struggle, instinctively fire 3 shots into Howe's body, but the shot that killed Howe was a suicide? These raise some big questions. I think everybody needs to think about this. The information is available on the website. That is Harvest, harvest-trust.org. Okay. There's some scary stuff, everybody. It's a reason to keep your eyes open and read. We'll have more information on the way soon. And I just feel that it's a real unfortunate incident that someone has to lose their life over such a stupid thing. How you doing, Bill? Oh, just saying, how you doing?
Oh,
fine. All right.
Everything, you done?
Yeah, everything working okay?
Everything's fine.
Cool.
You got some music queued up there?
Yeah. I just was finding the DS. In here?
No, we can't use that.
Okay.
It was the other night.
Oh, okay. Anyway, like I said, look on the website, harvest-trust.org, and you will see the report on there, and you can do research on your own. The local newspaper, if you want to research their articles or reach their website, it's Bakersfield, California. This is in Kern County of California. The actual city which the event took place was Taft. The man's name was Darrell Howe. He was a gun shop owner. It was Alpha Omega. Okay? Surplus and Supply. If you would like to reach specifically in these sites, you can reach the Bakersfield, California at http://www.bakersfield.com. And there are various articles on October 7th, October 8th, and October 9th to access. So if you'd like to do the research on your own or see what I just read, you can get it yourself.
be, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my father died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country be, land of the noble free, thy name my love. I love thy rocks and rills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart is raptured, thrilled like that above.
Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song.
Let mortal tongues away, let all that grief partake, let rocks in silence break the sound, oh God. Our Father God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might. God, our King.
Oh, I hope that's put you in the proper frame of mind, ladies and gentlemen. Doyle started the broadcast tonight so that I could finish compiling some things that I think need to be discussed. And also, first I want to give you the announcement. Beginning tonight, the hour of the time has been cut down to 2 hours, 2 hours a night. That means that we will air from 6 until 8 Pacific, 7 to 9 Mountain Time, 8 until 10 Central Time, and 9 to 11 Eastern Time. So beginning tonight, we will be off the air 1 hour earlier. Ladies and gentlemen, not too long ago, we were all surprised to hear that Lieutenant Colonel James Vogreitz was found near Orofino, Idaho, on a gravel road, dressed in his military uniform, festooned with combat medals, wounded in the chest with what was described as a self-inflicted wound. Now, all of us who have actually seen combat, me included, Doyle also. Doyle fought in the Gulf War. I fought in Vietnam as a river patrol boat captain, and nobody ever went up a river in Vietnam without seeing heavy combat. every time. And so, those of us who have actually been in combat and have unfortunately had to kill people and have seen people killed and have seen our fellows, our friends, our comrades in arms killed, and have studied the ancient warrior profession, knows that this was not an attempted suicide. This is a snow job. Or you could substitute snow for blow. Any way you want to tag it, it's a deception. It's a lie. No soldier, no military combat veteran, no one who understands and has been engaged in the art of killing on behalf of his country or for any other reason would ever try to commit suicide by shooting himself in the chest. Never, not in a million years. And those of us who understand the capability of a .45 caliber automatic pistol, especially when it's chambered with hydroshock rounds, which Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz has admitted he used on that day. He says he took his .45 automatic pistol chambered with a hydroshock 45 caliber round, placed it against his chest, the left side of his chest, and pulled the trigger. The medical report says that the round entered his chest, ricocheted off of his ribs, and exited the side of his chest just under the skin. We've obtained a copy, ladies and gentlemen. Also of the sheriff's report. We're not supposed to have these, but we do. Let me tell you about hydroshock ammunition. Hydroshock ammunition, especially in the .45 caliber category, has the highest incident of one-shot kills, no matter where they hit the target, as long as it's in the torso or the head. Anyone hit in the chest anywhere, in the chest, with a hydroshock bullet fired from a .45 caliber weapon at any decent range is dead. Dead, dead, dead. And anyone who understands weapons, .45 caliber pistols, and hydroshock ammunition knows that. It's not a guess. It's not maybe. It's not might be. It's dead. .45 caliber projectiles, no matter what type it is, no matter what you call it, no matter who manufactures it, if it has the proper load of any standard .45 caliber round, it never, ever ricochets off of a rib. Never has never happened in the history of combat arms. Never. We would have to be talking about Goliath, who towered 500 feet in the air and had ribs a foot and a half thick to even begin to think about such a thing. So how could this happen? Ladies and gentlemen, it could only happen if Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz intentionally dumped some of the powder out of that round. Or if he had a round, because we got to give him some little benefit here, just to to escape from all the ravings of the critics who will say that we were not fair. I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, every military combat veteran in the world is laughing their butts off over this. Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreis claims that he was the most decorated combat soldier in the Vietnam War. He has a long list of credentials that are incredible. No one with those credentials would ever do such a thing. Nobody. Even if he wanted to kill himself and he used a hydroshock round with a full load of powder in the cartridge, he wouldn't shoot himself in the chest. Because there's always the knowledge that any combat veteran has that even though you're dead, your brain will live on for some time and you will experience a great deal of pain. You're dead. You're not going to live. You will not survive it. There's only one way to kill yourself. And everybody who's ever been engaged in the ancient art of the warrior soldier combat veteran, anyone who's ever participated in killing his fellow man knows that there's only one way to kill yourself. One sure way. And that's not by shooting yourself in the chest. See, if you want to kill yourself, you want to make sure that you're going to die, and you want to make sure that you're going to die very quickly, and that no one can save you. You don't want anyone to save you, because in the act of trying to kill yourself, you might make yourself into a vegetable, and you might end up living paralyzed, a quadriplegic, in some hospital bed for the rest of your life, which might be another 40 or 50 years. And you don't want that to happen. Believe me, you don't want that to happen. You don't shoot yourself in the chest. And if you do it with a 45 caliber bullet, it never bounces off a rib. Never, ever. A 45 caliber bullet will wreak absolute havoc. It will go straight through you. It will make a very small hole upon entry, and it will make a very large hole upon exit, even if it's a full metal jacket. It will tear you to pieces. It will hurt you bad. Hydroshock will kill you. Your brain will live for a little while until the tremendous damage wreaked by the hydroshock bullet causes you to bleed to death, and your brain dies through suffocation and lack of blood supply and oxygen. But in the meantime, you will experience the most terrible, excruciating pain that you could possibly imagine, because a hydroshock bullet will destroy your entire upper chest area. Will tear your guts literally out of your body if it hits you in the stomach. Hydroshock ammunition kills. You don't survive. They don't put you back together. Lieutenant Colonel James Bogreitz fired a hydroshock bullet at point-blank range. He says, these are his words, he placed the barrel, the muzzle of the pistol, against his chest and fired. Pulled the trigger. The hydroshock round ricocheted off his ribs and exited out his left side. He was in the hospital for 2 days, ladies and gentlemen. Got up, walked out, went to the Survival Expo and spoke. He pulled another one over on you, ladies and gentlemen, and apparently was attempting to pull one over also on his wife, Claudia. What are you going to learn? This is the man that you want to follow? This deceiver? And I've had some calls to say, Bill, you should be more gentle on the man. He was suffering in his heart because his wife left him. Men like James Bogreitz, ladies and gentlemen, don't have those kinds of emotions. He is a hardened, confessed assassin, killer, murderer. You can't go out as he has confessed to doing and cold-bloodedly murder people in their sleep in their bed, as he claims that he did in the Phoenix program in Vietnam, and have pain in your heart because a woman leaves you. He is a hardened, trained killer. He has a reputation in the United States Army for doing anything that he was asked to do that no one else would ever volunteer to do, because it was illegal, ruthless, cruel, terrible. If nobody else would do it, they called Bogreitz and he would do it. So, put all that to rest and don't bother calling me. I fought in Vietnam. I killed people. I know how it's all done. This is another Bogreitz scam, and he is good at scamming. Then I got a letter from one of his followers. He's given so much to us over the years. Let us all empty our pockets and give him all the money that we can possibly give him. Never mind all the money that you've already given him for all these bogus things. Like what's her name? Who turned out to be a phony. And Greit says he's baffled over why he shot himself in the chest instead of the head. He says he's baffled. He's not baffled. He knew exactly what he was doing. Even with a short round, even with a round that he had dumped most of the powder out of, he didn't dare take a chance on shooting himself in the head. Also, he told a blatant lie. Anyone who understands biology, anyone who has killed before, anyone who's ever been in love knows that the pain is not in your heart. That's just a literary euphemism. He says he was trying to extinguish the pain in his heart, but missed the target. Ladies and gentlemen, I've only got one thing to say about the Bogreitz incident, and here it is. Bullshit. Absolute, 100%, bold-faced bullshit. Congress has just inserted a provision expanding the FBI's capacity to eavesdrop on American citizens into an intelligence budget bill. It's called the Roving Wiretap Provision. It's an item on the FBI's so-called wish list. And it was added to the Intelligence Authorization Act, which is House Resolution 3694. That's House Resolution 3694, late Wednesday. This comes from Representative Bob Barr, Republican, Georgia. He says under this new law, the federal government will have the ability to eavesdrop on each and every one of us. I warned you about this, ladies and gentlemen. You thought I was joking. The provision allows law enforcement agencies to tap telephones used by or near targeted individuals rather than requiring authorization to tap specific phones. How about that? It's a lot more. Remember what Hitler did? In our schools across the nation, they are training your children to rat on you. Your children are given questionnaires asking about their family life, about their mother and father, about whether or not anyone has ever touched their genitals, and if they answer yes, who. They are asked if their mother or father smokes marijuana or takes narcotics. Now, what if you had a prescription medicine that you had to take, like every day or every other day, or several times a day, even for a long period of time? How would your child answer that question? Hitler did this in Nazi Germany in the 30s and 40s. And children were ratting out their parents to the Gestapo. And it wasn't long before their parents disappeared. Their children became wards of the Nazi government, became dutiful little soldiers in the brown shirt army, and grew up to be SS officers. Listen to this. How would you like your child to become a disaster action kid? Now, this is on top. This is in addition to the teachers in schools across this country soliciting information from children to rat out their parents on many different levels, on many different subjects. For instance, are there guns in your home? Where are the guns kept? Do you have access to the guns? Do you know how to shoot a gun? Have your parents taught you how to shoot a gun? Have your parents ever given you a gun to hold? You people don't know the slightest amount of information that you think you know, much less what you need to know. Listen to this. How would you like your children to become a FEMA disaster action kid? This is the latest public relations attempt by James Lee Witt, the director of FEMA, to negate the bad publicity which was brought about by the revelation of the true nature and the true purpose and the true mission of FEMA in my book, Behold a Pale Horse, which caused a flurry of research activity that opened all the nasty closets over the years. Here it is. Your child can become a FEMA disaster action kid and get a certificate from FEMA Director James Lee Witt. Disaster action kids also get to be part of a special email group and will receive exciting news and information directly from FEMA on a regular basis. And ladies and gentlemen, what do you want to bet? They're going to start to get the same questionnaires that the National Education Association socialist communist teachers in our schools are giving them already. Here's the ad. Being a disaster action kid is fun. Disaster action kids are prepared. They know what items are needed in a disaster supply kit. They know how to protect their pets during a disaster. They also know what to do during each type of disaster. Being a disaster action kid isn't easy, but it's worth it. Get your friends involved, too. All you need to do is read about disasters on this website. Do the activities and, guess what, folks? Test your knowledge. When your checklist is complete, fill in this form to get a certificate with your name on it, then just print it out. And you will be a part of our email list and get further checklists and further tests of your knowledge and. How prepared are your parents? Does your father have a gun in the house? Do your parents use narcotics? Blah, 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 blah. Some people think there's no problem with this. Ladies and gentlemen, there's always a problem when children are used. There's always a problem when children are made to rat on people they love. There's always a problem when you ask immature children to make decisions and decide how to answer a question when they may not really understand the question or know the proper manner in which to answer it. Children are immature. Vatican City. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Pope Paul just recently canonized a nun, Edith Stein? She was gassed at Auschwitz. What's the matter with this? Well, really nothing. You see, she was a Catholic. She was a nun. She was gassed at Auschwitz. But you see, there is a whole portion of the world up in arms against this, yelling and screaming. Why? Well, it seems she was born Jewish. She was born Jewish. But she has now been canonized as the first Jewish-born Catholic saint since the time of the apostles. What's wrong with this? Jews say the move offended the memory of the Holocaust's Jewish victims. And I'm getting real sick of this crap. The Anti-Defamation League, all of this, it was a Jewish Holocaust. That's bullshit. And if it makes you angry, that's tough. You need to start dealing with it. Poles were murdered by Adolf Hitler. He tried to eliminate all of the gypsies in Europe. They weren't Jews. Most of the Poles who were eliminated weren't Jews. Catholics were sentenced to the labor camps, and many of them died or were murdered also. Also many Protestant people, blacks, Orientals, anyone who did not conform to the German conception of what should be the perfect race or the perfect people or German citizens, were put in labor camps, many of them put to death. Not just Jews. It wasn't just a Jewish Holocaust. It was anyone who did not conform to Hitler's perfect vision of the perfect race and the perfect world and the perfect religion. Which, by the way, was the same occult religion practiced in all the fraternal lodges around the world today. Hitler was boosted to power, ladies and gentlemen, by the Thule Lodge. Some people call it the Thule Lodge. The Jewish claim that it's outrageous. They say it's a public slap in the face to the Jewish community. That's a direct quote from the Simon Wiesenthal Center's Jerusalem office. The Pope canonized a Catholic nun . I think he was probably very careful to make sure that the nun he canonized was a Jewish-born nun. You see, he could not canonize as a saint a Jew who was not a Catholic. And what in the world have the Jews got to do with who in the world the Pope canonizes as a saint in the Catholic Church? This is crap. This is total crap. Stop it. Stop it. You're listening to WBCQ, Monticello, Maine, USA. I've often wondered Where are all these Holocaust screamers? Where were all these Holocaust screamers when Pol Pot was murdering millions and millions of Cambodians? Where were they? I didn't hear a word out of them. Not one word out of any of them. Not a single peep. Where were they when the Muslims were being killed in Bosnia? I haven't heard a word out of them about that. You know why? Because they're Muslims. I'm sick of this crap. All life is sacred. All life is sacred. All life is sacred. I don't care who you are. Catholic, Jew, Protestant, Serb, Muslim, American, Native, Indian, toadstool worshiper. I don't care. And I'm going to tell you something else. Even the Jewish people admit that Jew is not a race. Jew is a religion. Jew is not a race. Jew is a religion. Jew is not a race. Jew is a religion. If you don't believe that, tell me, why are the Arab Muslims considered to be Semites? They are Semites.
Right, that's right.
Yet if you're anti-Muslim, you're not anti-Semitic, are you? All this anti-Semite, all this anti-Semitic, all this baloney is just another way to divide us, conquer us, scream. It's racist, and those who are always screaming it are racist. That it has to be me that always says it because the rest of you haven't got the guts. But I do have the guts, and so I will say it. Stop it. Stop it now. Stop it. You're either for freedom for the entire human race, all people of all races, all religions, or you're not. If you're not, go dig a hole and get in it. You always wonder how it is that I can tell you that some of the people trying to bring about international socialism, one world socialist totalitarian government, are people who are rich, who are at the helm of large corporations. If you really read Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels' writings, you would know that. For Karl Marx didn't care about the common man. He hated the common man. It's all in his writings. It's clear to anyone who reads it with any kind of intelligence. He hated the common man. He hated blacks. Karl Marx was also a Jew-hating Jew. He didn't like Jews either. He was also a failure in everything that he ever attempted in his entire life. Everything. He never even provided for his family. It's as if he didn't care about them. If it wasn't for Friedrich Engels, his wife and children would have starved to death. Socialism is a method of controlling what they call the masses, enslaving them, so that those who hate them can use them and then eliminate them at their will. Listen to this. The head of a French Trotskyist party, a man known to his followers for 40 years only as Hardy, has been unmasked as a successful and ruthless businessman. The weekly news magazine in Paris, L'Express, reported yesterday that Robert Barkia, or Barcia, 70, had been living an extraordinary double life. On the one hand, he was the secretive head of Lutte Ouvrière, a sect-like revolutionary organization devoted to the destruction of the bourgeoisie and the French state. Lutavere is best known in France and abroad for the engagingly dull personality of its perpetual candidate and spokeswoman, Arlette Laguiller, who scored a startling 5% in the last French presidential election in 1995. On the other hand, Mr. Barsha, also known as Hardy, is also the founder and boss of a series of thriving companies which provide services for the pharmaceutical industry. However, his concern for the rights of workers and the ultimate triumph of the worker state does not extend to his professional activities, Le Express reported. One of his companies recently had to pay substantial compensation to two working mothers. One was sacked after taking parental leave, the other after asking to switch to part-time work. As Le Express said, supporters of Lutavere and other ultra-leftists face an awkward question. Is Mr. Barsha a Trotskyist entryist into capitalist boardrooms, or is he a capitalist entryist into Trotskyism? No, let me answer that.
No way.
He's just a socialist who really understands the purpose of socialism. He knows what it's for. And he's just practicing how to enslave people before socialism comes to power and really does it. This revelation, Le Express says, will throw a large boulder into the murky world of far-left groups in France. Lutavere, workers' struggle, is by far the most powerful, but also the most mysterious of such groups. It is in the midst of negotiations to create, for the first time, a common ultra-left platform and list of candidates for the European elections next year. Remember Armand Hammer, one of the greatest millionaires in this country, the United States of America, was devout communist, Marxist, socialist. He was a Leninist. He helped fund the Communist Party for many years. And in this country, what was he? He was the head of a multi-billion dollar empire of industrial workplaces for the common man, and you bet your boots.
He was a philanthropist.
He treated them just like Barsha. Mm. You know, the Communist Party of the United States of America is a rabid backer of William Jefferson Clinton. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that appeared in the September 26, 1998 issue of the People's Weekly World. People's Weekly World. May be used with People's Weekly World credits, so we just gave them their credits. Here's what it says. Representative Alcy Hastings, Democrat of Florida. Democrat's another word for socialist, and in many instances, communist. Introduced a bill September 18th calling for the impeachment of independent counsel Kenneth Starr for high crimes and misdemeanors in his witch hunt against President Clinton. If the Communist Party is backing President Clinton, you know what you now need to do. But you can also bet they're backing Al Gore. So it's a no-win situation. In a speech to the House of Representatives, Hastings, a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, CBC, said, "For more than 4 years, Mr. Starr has acted as if he were a law unto himself, placed himself above the Constitution and the laws of the United States." Hastings cited Starr for submitting a pornographic report to Congress, for trampling on people's rights, using tactics of intimidation, and unlawfully leaking grand jury material to the media. "He deprives citizens of the United States of their First and Fifth Amendment rights," said Hastings. "He has to date wasted more than $40 million and acted in ways that were calculated to demean, defame, and embarrass the president and the people of the United States." And on and on and on and on and on. This is a long article where the Communist Party in the Weekly World, or the People's Weekly World, absolutely back Clinton and rabidly attack anyone who is not for him. Oh, thank you.
No problem.
A little bit of ice water here, folks.
Sit down, Jack.
If you don't think we need it, try talking this long sometime. Now let me explain something to you. The Socialist International. The Socialist International is the worldwide organization of socialist, social, democratic, and labor parties. It currently comprises 131 political parties and organizations from all continents. Now, Doyle, because so many of them won't believe me if I say this, what is the symbol of the Socialist International?
Looks like a fist holding a rose.
A rose.
Huh.
Exactly. A red rose.
I've never seen that before either, until right now.
This is right off of their own website. This is right off of their own website. It shows a clenched fist holding a red rose. The Socialist International. The Socialist International is the worldwide organization of socialist, social, democratic, 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 and labor parties. It currently comprises 131 political parties and organizations from all continents. Listen to some of their platforms. I just took a few. Here's what they want, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what it is? Guess what it is? It's called, quote, a new democratic order, end quote. A new democratic order, end quote. A new democratic order, end quote. A new democratic order, a new democratic order, a new democratic order. Just as I've been telling you all along. And all of these people that you hear talking about the United States being a democracy are socialists. Socialists. Many of them are communists. And in the ultimate end of all of their agendas, communism is the goal. Plank number 97. The international challenge is nothing less than the beginning of a new democratic world society. We cannot allow blocs, nations, and private corporations to shape the political structure of the planet as a mere byproduct of their own self-interest. Number 98. Strengthening the United Nations is an important step in the creation of this new democratic world society, where there is a consensus among the major nations, significant peacemaking and peacekeeping initiatives are possible. The United Nations specialized agencies like the WHO and UN organs like UNDP and UNICEF have demonstrated that the governments and citizens of various nations can work effectively together in pursuit of common international goals. 99. It is unrealistic to assume that justice and peace can be legislated in a world of fundamental inequality where many millions barely cling to life, while a favored few enjoy a standard beyond the dreams of most of their fellow human beings. Socialist struggles in the original capitalist nations made gains in welfare and solidarity, 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 which in turn made the extension of democracy possible in individual countries. Likewise, the work of abolishing international inequality will be a crucial step forward on the road to a democratic world society. Democratic world society. Democratic world society. Number 100. There is no illusion that this ideal can be quickly accomplished. However, the creation of a pluralist and democratic world based on consensus and cooperation is a necessary condition for the advance of humankind. This is both a challenge and an enormous opportunity. The Socialist International is ready to meet the challenge and to strive for a world in which our children can live and work in peace, in freedom, in solidarity and humanity. We are confident that the strength of our principles, the force of our arguments, and the idealism of our supporters will continue to shaping a democratic socialist future into the 21st century. We invite all men and women to join us in this endeavor. I can't stand being right so much. It's just absolutely embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Absolutely embarrassing. Well, I was going to do some stuff on the Nazi jackbooted thugs who murdered Daryl Howell.
Sorry about that. I didn't know.
That's okay. You did a good job. Who murdered Daryl Howell in Kern County, California, and he was murdered. Can you imagine someone of his stature in the community, lived there all his life, was beloved, helped everyone. Everyone loved him, liked him. He helped with community activities. He always gave of himself to youth group activities. Can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen? Can you imagine they had the nerve to libel and slander him by claiming that while at a meeting with this piece of scum that calls himself an informant, claims that he said, I'm a skinhead, militia leader. That's a bold-faced lie. Ed Whiting, the police officer who shot him 3 times, had been on his case ever since he joined the force. Ed Whiting hated Daryl Howell. And everybody in the community knew it. Ed Whiting hassled Daryl Howell every chance he got. Daryl Howell was murdered by Ed Whiting. Officer Ed Whiting. Officer Ed Whiting murdered Daryl Howell. The BATF has no jurisdiction or authority in Kern County or within the territorial boundaries of the state of California. All of the documentation is on our website, harvest-trust.org. They knew it. That's why they went to the sheriff to ask permission to make the raids. The sheriff gave them permission, sent some of his deputies along, and some of the local police department officers went along, even though it was outside their jurisdiction, because their jurisdiction ends at the city limits. Ed Whiting had no business there. He was out of his jurisdiction, had no business shooting anybody. And, of course, the BATF are the Nazi jackbooted thugs, scum-sucking creeps of all time. They had no business there either. We have researched the law so thoroughly now, ladies and gentlemen, that we know exactly what the jurisdiction of the BATF and the IRS and the FBI and all of the rest of the Nazi jackbooted thugs are. They have absolutely no jurisdiction whatsoever within the territorial boundaries of any of the 50 states of the Union. That is the law. Daryl Howell was murdered. Murdered. Murdered, ladies and gentlemen. And the raid had nothing to do with a supposed machine gun that he sold some informant over 2 years ago. If he had sold anyone a machine gun 2 years ago, he would have been arrested then and prosecuted for selling a machine gun unlawfully. The truth is, it's not even unlawful. If you understand the law, and if you understand the second article in amendment to the Constitution, and if you understand the definition of militia, even if they want to twist it and say only militia members can have guns, they can do that if they want to. It doesn't matter. Daryl Howell never broke any law. In the first place, he never sold a machine gun to anyone. If he had, he would have been arrested and prosecuted. It's a lie. Here's what Daryl Howell really did. He advocated that citizens form or join militias and prepare to restore constitutional Republican government in this country. He told people to join or form militias in order to resist the tyranny that we all know is coming. He played tapes of broadcasts like the hour of the time on loudspeakers outside his store so that people passing by on the sidewalks could hear those tapes. He advocated the right to keep and bear arms, and so they murdered him. Murdered him, murdered him, murdered him. Murdered him. The Kern County Sheriff stated that the gun shop of Taft, California resident Daryl Howell was raided on Thursday, October 7th by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, known as the BATF, or Nazi Jackbooted Thugs, aided by the Kern County Sheriff's Department and Taft police officers. The sheriff stated in a press conference on October the 8th that Daryl Howell committed suicide during an attempt to serve him with a warrant. There was no attempt to arrest him. They were trying to serve him with a warrant. Law enforcement officials claim that Daryl Howell resisted arrest, placed a .45 caliber pistol in his mouth, and committed suicide, at which time an officer named Ed Whiting shot Howell three times. I guess to prevent him from committing suicide. Officer claims he wasn't watching. Heard a shot, turned around, and just shot Howell, not even knowing if he was the one who fired the shot. Bullshit. Lies. Ed Whiting is a liar. The sheriff is a liar. The BATF are liars. And the Taft Police Department are liars. This is happening all over this country, and it's happened too often. Daryl Howell had lived in Kern County, California all his life and was described by fellow residents as a model citizen, one who could always be counted upon to help with youth activities and community projects. He was respected and loved by all. Howell was not engaged in any illegal activity. No illegal weapons were found in his gun shop or in his home. The warrant was to search his gun shop. But yet, they say in the process of resisting arrest, he placed a .45 caliber pistol in his mouth and committed suicide, at which time an officer named Ed Whiting shot him three times. Now, here's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Daryl Howell was murdered by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Kern County Sheriff's Department and officers of the Taft Police Department because he was a patriot and urged citizens to become active in the local militia. And law enforcement officers are asking us to believe that a respected and beloved member of the community of Taft, California, was just waiting for them to raid his shop so that he could commit suicide. No, thank you. I am not buying that bullshit. Not now, not tonight, not tomorrow, not ever. No, thank you. Daryl Howell was murdered, pure and simple, by the socialist Nazi jackbooted thugs that have seized control of this country. And have targeted all patriots all across this country for eventual elimination. We urge the good citizens of Kern County, California, to recall and fire the Kern County Sheriff and all sheriff's deputies who were involved in the murder. We urge the good citizens of Taft, California, to recall or fire the chief of police of Taft immediately, along with all officers who participated in the murder. We demand that the Congress permanently disband the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, fire and eliminate all BATF agents who were involved in the murder of Daryl Howell, the Branch Davidians, and anybody else, and ensure that they are never retired or rehired in government service ever again. We demand that the law enforcement officer, Ed Whiting, who was named as the man who shot Daryl Howell, be arrested and tried for murder in a court located in the community in which the crime occurred. We also demand that every officer or agent from all agencies and our departments who participated in the raid, which resulted in the murder of Daryl Howell, be arrested and tried as accessories to murder in a court located in the community in which the crime occurred. We urge, no, ladies and gentlemen, we beg that all true Americans will never rest until all of these things have been accomplished. We beg you to become active and make sure that these things are done. And if they are not done, and if you don't care enough to get active and make sure that they are done, then what are you waiting for? Bend over, kiss your sweet ass goodbye, put the chains around your ankles, and quit all this nonsense about a return to constitutional Republican government, liberty, freedom, and all of these other things that I hear you always talking about, but don't have the guts to do anything about. You wonder how they can do it? Listen to this. I'm going to read you the oath, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to read you the pertinent portion of the oath because it would take too long to read the whole thing. Maybe another night I will read the whole thing. This is the oath of the Royal Arch Degree of the Southern Jurisdiction of the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. The Royal Arch Degree. Now listen to me very carefully, because I'm going to read you the pertinent passages. This is the Royal Arch Degree of Freemasonry. I'm going to read you the pertinent passages. Now remember, this is a long oath, and I'm just reading you the pertinent passages, the ones that apply. I promise and swear that I will not speak evil of a companion Royal Arch Mason, neither behind his back nor before his face, but will apprise him of approaching danger. If in my power, furthermore, I do promise and swear that I will not strike a companion Royal Arch Mason in anger so as to draw his blood. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that I will support the Constitution of the General Grand Royal Arch Chapter of the United States of America. Also, the Constitution of the Grand Royal Arch Chapter of the state under which this chapter is held, and conform to all the bylaws, rules, and regulations of this or any other chapter of which I may hereafter become a member. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that I will obey all regular signs, summons, or tokens given, handed, sent, or thrown to me from the hand of a companion Royal Arch Mason, are from the body of a just and lawfully constituted chapter of such, provided it be within the length of my cable toe. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that I will aid and assist a companion Royal Arch Mason when engaged in any difficulty, and espouse his cause, so far as to extricate him from the same, if in my power, whether he be right or wrong. Also, that I will promote a companion Royal Arch Mason's political preferment in preference to another of equal qualifications. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that a companion Royal Arch Mason's secrets given me in charge as such, and I knowing them to be such, shall remain as secure and inviolable in my breast as in his own, murder and treason not excepted. Furthermore, do I promise and swear that I will be aiding and assisting all poor and indigent Royal Arch Masons, their widows and orphans, wherever dispersed around the globe, so far as in my power, without material injury to myself or family. All which I do most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear, with a firm and steadfast resolution to perform the same, without any equivocation, mental reservation, or self-evasion of mind in me, whatever, binding myself under no less penalty than that of having my skull smote off and my brains exposed to the scorching rays of the sun, should I ever knowingly or willfully violate or transgress any part of this my solemn oath or obligation of a Royal Arch Mason. Now do you understand? Murder and treason not accepted. Most police officers today belong to a labor union called the Fraternal Order of Police. They meet in lodges. They have degrees. and they swear allegiance to their brother officers. There's a code of silence, and they will lie to their grave rather than tell the truth about an officer who breaks the law. So just like you need to get the National Education Association teachers out of your schools, you need to get the Fraternal Order of Police members out of your police departments, sheriff's departments, government and federal agencies, and you need to do it now. Anyone who works in any court of law will tell you that the people who lie most on the stand are law enforcement officers, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't come from me. I don't work in a court. It comes from every single person I've ever known who works in a court of law. Does it make you angry? Does this upset you? We have about 28 minutes left in the broadcast. It's time to hear from you. At 520-333-4578. All you Freemasons and secret society members and clones and geeks of fraternal organizations across this country, the brotherhood you practice is not the brotherhood that our founding fathers meant, nor that is included in this song. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Good evening, Bill.
Hello.
This is along the lines of that FEMA website you were talking about.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of Canadian programming because I live pretty close to their border. And in Canadian high schools now, they have what's known, I think it's junior highs actually, they have what's known as the Junior UN Observer Team. I don't know if you've heard about that, but...
What are they observing?
What's that?
What are they observing?
They're observing on their fellow classmates.
Ah.
And what they're looking for?
Sieg Heil.
Socialists.
They're looking for what?
Socialists.
They're looking for socialists?
Yes, I wish I had a tape recorder going when I heard it. I almost fell out of my chair.
Why are they looking for socialists?
Yes, that is what they claim.
Why?
Because I guess it's a bad thing, and they're trying to... sort of cover their tracks, I would imagine. This way they can say, well, we're looking for socialists, so we aren't socialists in turn. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know why they're looking for socialists?
No.
So that they can recruit them. Canada is a socialist country.
Of course it is.
They're not looking for socialists to oust the socialists from Canada. They're looking for students who might make promising little activists in socialism.
Yeah, they're on both sides of the fence, apparently.
Yeah.
For public consumption, they broadcast this out over the CDC airwaves. And then, you know, in reality, what they're actually doing is recruiting. I got to hand it to them. They're pretty clever folks.
Well, absolutely they are. Can you imagine a socialist country rooting out socialists to persecute them?
Well, when the time comes, that might be part of the plan as well.
Well, the leadership and the ones who helped them come to power, eventually, when the power becomes total and all encompassing, are always the first ones that go to prison and get put to death.
Yes, I just thought you'd like to know that.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Bye.
520-333-4578. Canada is a socialist country. England is a socialist country, and many others. 520-333-4578. Good evening. Good evening. You're on the air.
You
need to talk a lot louder, please. Make sure your mouth is right in front of your phone.
It's right in front.
Are you on a Rome phone or something?
No, I'm not.
I barely hear you. Can you yell?
I'm trying to yell as loud as I can.
Okay.
I just wanted to relate a story I saw on one of these 2020 type shows on TV. It was about this shopkeeper in New York City, and every day, the last 10 years, he's been parking his bicycle in front of the shop, and he ties it with a chain to a tree outside. Well, a couple of park rangers happened to be walking by on patrol, although it wasn't in the park, and he asked the shopkeeper whose bike this was, and he said, well, it's mine. So they proceeded to issue him a ticket, and when he protested, they stated that they could bring him down to the station right now for a criminal offense. So he accepted the ticket, they left, they looked at the ticket, and it was for $1,000. So after a whole hubbub, the head of the Department of Parks said, all right, well, forgive the ticket, you only have to do these two things. You have to apologize to the tree and hug it.
Is this a joke?
No.
This sounds like a joke.
The other night. Ask anybody to call in who saw it.
They had apologized to the tree and hugged the tree?
Yes.
And who made him do that?
This is the Parks Department.
What do you mean the Parks Department? Are you talking about a judge?
No, you know, like Central Park and the park system of New York City.
They don't have the authority to make somebody apologize to a tree and hug a tree.
It was on TV.
Oh, God. Well, if you say so, this is the most incredible thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either.
They fined him $1,000?
They fined him, but like I said, they tore up the ticket because he proceeded to apologize to the tree and hug it on TV.
But they were going to fine him $1,000.
$1,000 for that.
This is insanity.
It is.
And he had to apologize to the tree and hug it.
Yes.
Oh, gee.
That's all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Can you believe that?
Craziness.
520-333-4570. That's insanity. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Good evening.
Good evening.
All things aside, I know the other night I was watching CNN, and they had the show on that dealt with the signing of the Bill of Rights, which the anniversary was the other day. And it's an amazing thing. Nothing in the paper, nothing in school, nothing on the radio. Greatest document ever signed, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and nobody cares. I just wonder what your comment might be.
What do you mean nobody cares? Who said that?
Well, that's the way it seems. Well, you and I care. And I'm sure lots of others do. But nothing on the radio. You never hear about it on the TV. Schools didn't say last week, well, kids, why don't we read the Bill of Rights so we all know where we're coming from?
Well, they don't want them to know the Bill of Rights. They don't teach anything about the true history of this country. They don't teach the Bill of Rights. They don't teach the Constitution. They don't teach Republican government. It's a democracy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a democracy.
The great socialist experiment, democracy.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to call and say that. I just haven't seen it. I've seen an HR is the only place you may ever hear about it, because no one, it'll come and go every year, and no one will ever remember it was ever sang.
Well, that's not true.
Yeah. Well, not for everyone, but it seems that the majority of people are just a little too busy.
No,
that's
their excuse that they're too busy. The truth is they're too stupid to understand that without a knowledge of those documents and without a willingness to protect them with their lives if need be, they're not going to have the freedom to be too busy here pretty soon.
They're going to be so busy, they'll be very busy lined up someplace.
Lined up someplace or doing some labor for somebody that they never dreamed they'd be doing labor for, just to eat and have a bed to sleep in.
And I believe that's where they seem to be headed if they don't smarten up.
Well, there's no doubt about it.
And from all I've ever heard from you all these years, it seems that you were right all along.
Remember the great history of England?
Yeah.
Well, England was never as free as we have been.
Oh, no.
But I went to England, and I saw a miserable, very unhappy people who are not living in the glory that once was Great Britain, nor are they much proud or happy about their lives today under this oppressive socialism. And if you want to see crime, go to England. There's more violent crime in England today than there is in the entire United States.
And they seem to profess the reason that not so much because they did away with the guns, you know.
Well, I think if you do a little research, you'll find out that they admit it. They just don't blare it in the headlines.
No, they're good at...
It's admitted.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. And I thank you for your time, Bob.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
520-333-4578 is the number. And we're waiting for your call. Give us your comments about tonight's broadcast. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill.
Yes.
Corned beef and cabbage.
Nope.
Yeah, you mentioned the so-called Holocaust. I heard it today.
Well, there's no doubt there was what you can call a Holocaust. I mean,
right.
millions of people died,
right.
Were killed, but they weren't all Jews.
My mother-in-law is Polish. Okay, she just died last month. We were at the cemetery today, my wife and I, and the lady there, I know a little bit about her because we've lived here about a year, and she told someone else there that walked by us about his mother-in-law was in the Holocaust. And my wife said, no, it wasn't the Holocaust. She was Polish, you know. And what it was, they put her in a labor camp, her and her husband, her new husband, her mother, and her husband, and their brother-in-law, sister-in-law, whatever. And they took them to Germany. They took them from Poland, from their homeland, the Germans, took them and put them in a labor camp and made them work for 6 years.
Most of the labor camps were never in Germany.
Well, this one was. They took them in a farm, to a farm. And matter of fact, this is, I have to give President Clinton this. I wrote him a letter about her because they denied her pension because we applied to Germany.
Uh-huh.
And he got his deputy chief of staff, James Dorskin, he referred it to the State Department. I have both the letters from them. And a few days later, the first check came in from Germany because they never gave them any paychecks. They didn't pay them, see? So I said, well, you know, they didn't pay her. No wonder she doesn't have all this documentation, you know. But she had plenty of it. I mean, other things, you know. But anyway, President Clinton did that. But anyway.
Why did they deny that she was in the Holocaust? You said at the cemetery, somebody said, well, she was in the Holocaust.
The lady, see, everyone around town thinks she's a Jew. Because they keep saying the funeral director started, you know, she was in the Holocaust. They said, well, she wasn't a Jew. She was Polish.
Well, she didn't have to be a Jew, and the term called Holocaust includes everybody who died or who was a victim of the Nazis in World War II.
But no one, the American people, including myself, until I met my mother-in-law, I had her live with me for 16 years. I loved her as my dear mother, but I never understood it myself either. I never heard of this. I mean, there was more Polish people killed. And more, you know, and put in labor camps, and then
gypsy.
They didn't fool around with it. They didn't work. Hey, that was it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they killed an awful lot of people.
Sure.
And they were not all Jews.
Right.
And if you counted all of the people who were killed the majority who were killed may have been other than Jews.
Well, I've heard that.
It was a terrible time. There was a terrible thing that anybody had to die, and I resent like hell all of this crap from people like the Anti-Defamation League and others who just absolutely, you talk about disgrace and an insult to people. It's an insult to all of the other people who died.
Right.
And I'm sick of it. They can call me whatever the hell they want. Anybody who knows me and who listens to this broadcast knows that I'm not anti-Semitic, but I'm not. But I am anti-bullshit. Totally 100% anti-lie. I'm anti-racism, which that is, by the way. And they don't even have a claim to that because Jewish is not a race. It's a religion.
Okay.
I'm just sick of it. I'm tired of it.
Right.
I put the ADL in the same category as the Aryan Nations and the National Alliance.
Uh-huh.
Same thing. They're racist organizations dividing and screwing around with people all the time. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it.
I mean, these little people suffered under this... atrocities.
Even the German people suffered under Hitler, believe it or not.
Oh,
the truth.
The Russians came to her town. She lived on the border of Russia. They annexed the town.
Yeah, ask the Russians how many Russians the Germans killed. A lot more than they killed Jews, I guarantee you.
They took her church, took the pews up, made a dance hall out of it, taught them there was no God. When she was a little girl growing up, she was a peasant. They lived on a dirt floor.
Yeah.
Her sister died in pneumonia, and they could just picture these little peasants in the middle of all this.
Yeah.
So the Russians took over, made her learn Russian. She could speak Russian fluently, and then the Germans repelled them and came in and took the people. Right out, just picture them taking you out of your house, your home.
Well, someday
they'll... your family to another country to work for them as a slave labor,
Someday they'll come up here and try it. But
this is
guarantee
what
you, they won't
I
take us.
I can see it shaping up, but see, the Americans...
They'll take us from here to the cemetery, and that's the only place they'll take us.
The American people do not understand. It's like 50 years...
Oh, they don't even give a damn. What do you mean, don't they? They don't even care. They go through the motions and pretend and say whatever is politically correct at the moment and hope that they slid by without anybody noticing them.
I went to college
it's pathetic.
In Michigan, and the textbook in the sociology class was so ridiculous. It was written by this woman, Meta Rosenberg, who I believe is the producer of the Rocker Files. But anyway, this textbook was so outrageous. It said Jesus' miracles. Jesus was a myth. His miracles were myth. And,
Wait a minute. Anybody is entitled to say whatever they want or believe what they whatever want, whatever they want as far as religion goes.
Right.
The truth is, right. Nobody really knows all of those things.
But here's the thing, though. He's a historical figure. So I went to the dean...
Wait a minute. How do you know that?
How do I know? Because even the Quran alludes to him.
Alludes to him?
Right.
Allusion doesn't mean...
A living figure. People know that.
Allusion? No, people don't know that.
Well, they should.
Prove to me that he was a historical figure. I want you to prove to me that Jesus Christ is a historical figure.
Can you prove to me that you are, though?
Let's not turn this around. You made a statement that you can't prove. And I'm trying to let you know that. If you're a decent person, you'll admit it and move on. You can't prove it. Nobody can.
Right. Can you prove that you are?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you do that?
You're listening to me, bozo.
Well, listen up.
Let's not get ridiculous, okay? Don't make statements on this broadcast you can't back up, because I'll always call you on them. I don't care who you are.
Well, I mean, you can call me on it, but I mean, I still don't understand, what you're saying.
Well, I understand that you choose to believe in Jesus Christ because that's your religion, but you cannot prove that he is an actual historic figure.
You can't prove that he was a historical figure?
You can't.
How many witnesses do you need?
You prove to me that he's a historic figure, and you can't prove it by the books of the Bible.
Why?
Because you can't prove who wrote them.
It's not historic.
You can't prove who wrote them, and you can't prove that whoever wrote them was telling the truth.
Well,
I can sit down and write a book.
You have to believe in his miracles. That's what I told this dean. I said, but the thing is...
You can believe whatever you want in your religion.
I don't have any religion.
Then what are you going on about?
I'm not. I mean, you made this statement. I mean, this is what
No, you made a statement that Jesus is a historical figure, and I merely said prove it.
But this is what they're teaching in the university.
Teaching what?
Communism. This is it.
If they're teaching that Jesus was not a historical figure, that's not communism. That's anti-Christianity.
In this book, though, I mean, that's not the whole reason. In this book, it was saying that the communist children are better than the American children, and, you know, it was a bunch of BS.
Well, if they said that, then it is a bunch of BS.
It was unbelievable.
And which book is this?
Well, it was a sociology textbook so many years ago. I can't remember the name of it. It was written by Meta Rosenberg. I remember the name because I saw it on the Rockford Files as a producer.
I don't believe there's an American living anywhere, even the dumbest student that you could find in the dumbest university class that would believe that the Soviet people were better off than the American people.
Well, why can't the people leave there? He says, well, what do you mean? They can leave anytime they want. This is, I mean, I'm talking 10, 12 years ago or something. I said, they can't leave. What are you talking about? You know, they don't have any choice to say what they're going to do. But anyway, that's it. I mean, if you don't believe that Christ is a historical figure. Well,
I didn't say that. I said, you can't prove it.
Well,
and then I asked you to prove it, and you haven't done it yet.
Well,
I didn't say I didn't believe. You're listening to me, aren't you?
Yeah, I listen to the Lord, too. I hear him all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
Good night. 520-333-4578. Well, you know, you can tell me that, but I don't believe it. And if you read the Bible and understand it and believe what the Bible says that he's not doing that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. It's Joe from Canada. How you doing?
Hi.
For a while since I haven't had a chance to pick up my story, but I'm glad you're on this frequency because you're coming into Canada pretty strong. I haven't had a chance to hear your comments, what's going on and the speculation of Y2K. What's your fix on that?
Everybody asks me something like that every night, and I give them the same answer. It's all baloney.
You don't think that there's kind of a...
It's baloney.
Okay, so there's no problem...
The only danger from Y2K is your perception of it and what you're going to do because of your perception.
Government may use this as an excuse to mandate that people get identification cards since the computers didn't work after that certain date. It was an excuse to impose martial law.
If you read all the stuff about Y2K on the internet, it's being used for everything in the world, and it's going to be the end of the world. When the last computer can't compute the date, the world is going to split into a million people pieces and disintegrate, and you can find anything that you want to believe in concerning Y2K is on the internet.
Yeah, well, of course, there's a compendium of worst-case scenarios to nothing's going to happen, so maybe somewhere in the middle there's...
The only danger from Y2K is what this great herd of people are going to do because they think something's going to happen because of Y2K. Yeah, you got it.
Right.
You want to cause a run on the banks and a total a collapse of the entire banking system. Well, just scare everybody with Y2K so that next year they all run and try to withdraw all their money out of the banks and find out it doesn't exist and the banking system collapses. And the only danger is what people are going to do because of what they think Y2K is going to do. And I'm going to tell you right now. Y2K is no problem.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, you kind of hit the nail on the head with the hammer by saying that even if nothing does happen...
Nothing is going to happen except all these crazy sheep running around bleeding and eating and manufacturing methane gas, and they'll cause the world to fall down.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what's going to happen. If there's a run on the banking system, if everyone cashes all their stocks...
What this is all about. It's to cause people to panic and do things that they would not otherwise do. I guarantee you right now, Y2K is no problem. And if even if it caused a small interruption in some of your transactions with somebody that you do business with, I guarantee you those people are going to fix it so quick it'll make your head swim because they don't want to go bankrupt over it. And by the way, most of it's already been fixed. Everywhere.
Well, I don't know, because there's a lot of stuff on the net.
Don't do that. That's a herd mentality. Because it's on the net does not make it true, nor does it make it valid, nor does it make it anything that you should be reading.
I'm not saying any of it's true. What I've been saying is...
Why do you keep saying it's on the net? Who cares if it's on the net?
But you're on the net too, Bill, so why are you listening to the herd mentality?
I'm on there putting up... information, but I'm not whipping people into a frenzy to go to my website and then go out and destroy themselves in a mass hysterical reaction.
Yeah, okay. Now, just talking to yourself. I'm listening.
Okay. I got to tell you, all you Y2K junkies, you can be Y2K junkies all you want to. And if you want to whip yourself all up into a slather and you don't want to know the truth, don't call me and ask me about Y2K because I'm going to tell you the truth. There's nothing to it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Bill. Tell your listeners a little story. When I was in fifth grade, back in about 1968, Nelson Rockefeller was the governor of New York State. They tore down the walls between three classrooms, put accordion folding walls like in a gymnasium in, called the three classes a troika, and I took part in those classes, and they taught the classes together.
Uh-huh.
And I got a question for you. You know, you're talking about communism.
Yeah. You got to hurry because we're out of time, so you got to make it real quick, like I mean in the next breath.
Got it. Sandra Feldman was on the Schedule C of the Federal Reserve. She's the union leader of the New York City schools. Labor and management together, isn't that more like fascism than communism? Labor unions and corporate management and government bureaucrats all together?
It's all going toward communism.
Toward communism?
Every fascist government that's ever existed has existed under socialism.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
The ultimate goal of socialism, as expounded by Marx and Lenin, is communism. Do you doubt it?
I got it.
Okay.
All right, sir.
If you doubt it, stick around. You'll see. Good night, folks.
I'm here.
God bless each and every single one of you.
Down south. the world.